every Wednesday we talk with Dr. Adler, or today, Dr. J. Vance Vandergriff. And today, we're going to be talking about the Beers List of Geriatric Medicines. These apparently come out annually, and pretty interesting. This is new to me, so we'll just get right to Dr. Vandergriff. Good morning, but welcome back. Been a while.
Good morning.
Now, this is a list that is, I don't know who Beers is, but this is what criteria for potentially inappropriate medication use in older adults. So this sounds like a pretty important subject.
Yeah, I think it started back in 2012. This is criteria was released in the Journal of American Geriatrics of medicines that were determined that either the benefit did not outweigh the risks, or they're just not proven to be effective, or just they're just high risk medicines for people over the age of 65.
Well, I guess, you know, our bodies change as we get older. It may be something that we're taking when we're in our 40s may not be as beneficial to us when we get into our 60s. Is that true?
Absolutely. And this is one of the, you know, we always have to look at a patient, and one of the things, we'll use cholesterol as an example. If your cholesterol is abnormal at 20, versus your cholesterol abnormal at 50. Well, at 50, we know you're much more likely to have a heart attack than at 20, so it becomes a bigger issue. And so medicines you may have been taking for 10, 20 years may not be safe as you get older, and we just need to have the discussion with the patient, and your listeners need to have that discussion with their doctors. Is it still safe for me to take this?
Well, in the vast majority of cases, the older we get, the more drugs we're taking, many for the first time. But you want to give us an idea of some of the drugs that are on here? That folks, I don't want to cause anybody to have a panic or anything, but some of the more common drugs that may be on this list of medicines that may not be necessary for elderly folks, or maybe even might be hazardous.
Yeah, well, the two that come to mind right off the top of my head are the nerve pills. So your Xanax, your Valiums, your Ativans, and a lot of patients are taking these for sleep or for anxiety, and they may have been taking them for 10 or 15 years, and those are a high-risk medications because of the sedative effect, and they can increase the risk of falls, and they also, what people don't realize is they have a slight amnestic effect. So there's some short-term memory loss associated with these medicines.
Oh my goodness!
And a patient may take one of these medicines and then kind of forget that they took one and take another one, and they could accidentally overdose.
Alrighty then. Well, that's important to know.
Yeah, another common medicine that's not recommended for the older population is sleeping pills. And it's the same kind of deal there, is they're determined that in the studies that there's minimal improvement in how long they stay asleep, and it increases the risk of getting falls, increased risk of fractures, and increased the risk of delirium and hallucinations.
Well, it's one of those dumb moments for me, because I never really thought about it, but obviously in both of those cases, when you're talking about medicine that has a sedative effect, as you're getting older, maybe a little bit less loss of balance, or any time that you want to be able to move around or drive or anything like that, you certainly want to be as alert as you possibly can be. I mean, how often do you run into this where you've got somebody who's maybe been on a drug for a long, long time, and suddenly you start to notice before they do that it's having some effects on them that may outweigh the benefits?
Every single day.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Absolutely. We have new patients coming to us all the time, and these new patients will come in with their med lists, and I look over their med lists, and if they have any controlled medicines like those, nerve pills, and a lot of times doctors will give like a low-dose Xanax to help somebody sleep, and so they've been on it for 15 or 20 years, and they say, I can't sleep without this. Ambien is another common one that patients have been taking, and I try to have that discussion with them that these are dangerous medicines. But doc, I've never had a problem before.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, do you want to really take that chance that you're not going to have a problem tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now, and try to just offer them alternatives to those medications? Another on this list is estrogen. You know, back in the day when I came out of training, estrogen was a lifelong drug. And women that had estrogen replacement, they died on estrogen replacement.
Wow.
And now the studies are showing that you want to use estrogen for the least amount of time and the lowest dose to control symptoms of hot flashes, because it does have an increased risk of cancer, and there's not enough evidence that shows there's other benefits with memory or cardiovascular benefit. And there was one study that showed increased cardiovascular risk with estrogen. So
yeah,
trying to get these patients off their estrogen is sometimes difficult as well.
Well, having known you for years now, I know that you kind of specialize in being able to get people off of medications as much as getting people on medication. In fact, I've had people ask me, and I said, no, you need to go see Dr. Vandergriff if you feel like you're taking too many medications. And it's easy to do, especially as you get older, because people are seeing different doctors. Instead of just their GP, they're going to specialists and this kind of thing. So I think the root thing that we need to take out of this today is that folks need to talk to all of their healthcare providers about all the medications they are taking and whether or not these risks are going to outweigh the benefits of it. I don't know if you could put a percentage number on it, but in some cases, would it be possible to just merely switch medications to address something that would, you know, disrupt the I don't know if we're building up a tolerance to them or whatever, but is there anything that you could switch to, or if we're being given a prescription for something that is going to treat something in my body, or is there other medicines that are available that have the same effect? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, there's usually alternatives to these medications. A lot of these medicines are used because they're easy, easy to write, and they work in a lot of cases. But like we said earlier, what may be good and healthy for you to take in your 40s and 50s may not be good and healthy for you to take in your 70s and 80s. And we do a lot of, I mean, as a medical provider, we are trained to give medicines. And so we can pretty much give a pill for any complaint that you have. And you come in with a complaint, we give you a pill. You come back next time, you have a different complaint, here's another pill. And a lot of times, whether it's a stomach pill or whether it's a sleeping pill or a pain pill or a nerve pill, you know, people get started on these medicines and they just take them forever and ever. And you got to think, okay, do I still need this? Is there really a need for me to keep taking this? Is this something that I can cut back on, and can I wean off of it? And is it something that I you know, maybe I don't need that stomach pill every day? And if you don't try to wean back on these medicines, then you're just going to be on it the rest of your life. And as you get older, they do have risks.
All right, folks, again, I'm going to tell you, you can look this up online with the caveat that you go Google Beer's criteria of these potentially inappropriate medications. If you see one that you're on, just want to make sure, you know, never, ever stop immediately taking a medication without talking to your health care provider. Say you do go Google the list and you find something on there and you want to have a conversation, then you simply get in touch with your health care provider. And if you don't have one, you can always call Strand Urgent Care. They're located in Myrtle Beach, they're very near the Intercoastal Waterway, right off the International Drive there. And the phone number, 843-945-3030. 843-945-3030. Very important and very interesting stuff. I really wish I had thought of that, because I feel kind of dumb not even thinking about that, but it makes perfect sense. Thanks for bringing it up to our attention, Dr. Vandergriff.
You're welcome.
We'll take a